Maar ik heb het niet dat ik mezelf kan stellen. Ik heb mevrouw Martha Daniels, is hier namens mijn man, Harold Daniels, wat voor 15 jaar bij Nexa werkzaam was als securiteitsbeamte. Harold is in 1997 overleden aan breinkanker als gevolg van de bestraling wat hij in een gebouw opgedoen heeft waar haar brand uitgebreek. Hij was niet toegerust of opgeleid om daar soort werk te doen, maar hij moest maar ingaan.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for according me this opportunity. My name is Mrs. Daniels and I'm the widow of Harold Daniels, who worked for 15 years as an employee of Nexa, and he died of brain cancer in 1997 as a result of having to extinguish a fire and doing work for which he had not been trained or properly equipped.
Harold was maar 46 jaar toe hij oorlede is. Toe Harold ziek geworden is, heeft hij geklaagd van pijn in zijn arm, nek en zijn maag was baie opgezwel. Ons heeft van niks geweten, want hij heeft ons nooit vertel nie, ons heeft van iets later uitgevind.
When my husband passed away, he was 46 years old, and he had much pain, he suffered much pain. His arm and neck were stiff and his stomach swole, but by the time, he never complained, by the time that he complained and talked about his suffering, it was too late.
Nexa het vir Harold in 96 pakket gegee, net mooie jaar na die brand. Harold was baie ongelukkig daaroor en wou dit nie aanvaar nie. En het nooit geteken vir sy pakket nie. En ek moes... Ek moes dit maar aanvaar na sy dood. Harold het by die huis gesit en het voor hom uitgestaar. En met niemand daaroor gepraat.
Harold got a severance package from Nexa in 1996, that was just a year after the fire, and he refused to accept this package and I had to accept it on his behalf. And he would only sit at home and stare in front of him and was not responsive anymore.
Harold het toe na sy ma in Kimberley gegaan en alles vir haar gaan vertel oor waar hy die bestraling opgedoen het en dit is nie mooie jaar is na die brand. Hy het toe begin geel word in sy gezicht, oor en hande. As gevolg van die bestraling wat hy die brand opgedoen het. Hy het ons nooit niks vertel en niemand hulle mag nie dit, want dit was een geheim. Ek is in besit van my skoonmoederse verslag.
Harold then went to Kimberley to live with his mother, and that was just a year after the fire, and he told her everything that had happened, and he got this sort of yellowish hue in his face, eyes and hands. And my mother-in-law then subsequently informed me about what Harold had told me, and he had never spoken about his situation at work because that was considered classified information which he was not supposed to share with outsiders.
Nexa's levenspoel het nooit aan my uitbetaal as gevolg van 2 maanden wat ons nie betaal het voor sy dood nie.
Nexa's life policy was never paid out to me on account of 2 monthly installments, which we had not paid before his death.
Ek voel Nexa's skuld my een verduidelik. Een vergoeding vir die onzettelijke verlies. My kind was maar van het vijf en ek zonder werk.
I feel that Nexa owes me an explanation and compensation for this terrible loss of my husband. My child was only in standard 5, grade 7, when her father passed away. And I myself was unemployed. Thank you, that is all.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much, Mr. Stanier. I think these are the kind of issues we feel need to be shared and to be talked about, these kind of difficulties. I hope that as members of parliament, certainly we will have to interact with NEXA, at least get a briefing on what obtained there, as well as the issue of Mr. Morton that Mr. Palana raised with us.
Honorable Chair. I don't know if I'm allowed to speak, man, but it's quite hot in the building. There's no aircon or something around.
I think the nuclear industry is uncomfortable. they have sent someone to support us their condition. I'm joking. There's nothing we can do. I'm also about to take off my jersey because it's very hot. There's nothing we can do. You can see that.
Sama thoma ke adumedi sa ke re thobetsa e le nna Joseph Lebepe ne ke le mosebetsi ne ke le mmereki wa ko NEXA nako ne ke bereka ko NEXA ne e le Atomic Energy Corporation ne e le Atomic Energy Corporation. Ke thomile go bereka ko NEXA ka 1982. Ge bangshila ko NEXA ka 1982 ba ile ba mpolelela ne ke hirile ke mosadi mone ke mmitsa Mrs. Margaret. O ile a mpolelela re le batho ba mathomo le 8 a re batho ba mathomo ba o tsena ka mo planteng. A re batho botlhe ba ba bereka ka mo a ba tsene ka mo planteng ba bereka ko gardening. And ka nnete ke ile ka reka lebela ka kry-a o le ore go bjago ke fankise ko area C2 ke ka rekile ko area C2 1982 1983 1984 1985 bantsha ka ko area C2 bartsamaisa le pleke le hotlhela ba re koloma ka mafestere re kuluma ka di-toilete re kuluma ka ka mo di-shower-e ka mo batho ba tlhapelang ka mo teng.
My name I'm Joseph Lebepe. I worked at NEXA. I worked at C2, which is one of the plants. Hired there by the lady in the name of Margaret. And she said that when she hired us, we are the first people to enter into the plant. And then I quickly realized that is true because there's no one, a black person, working in the plant. It's only the first group of us. So I worked there from 1982 to
1985. 1985, ba re botsa ba mpitsa ko ofising ba re mo go nna ba re mmereko o fedile ba butsa ka re why mmereko o fedile molato ke eng ba re ka butsisa ra go botsa re mmereko o fedile ba mpha blue card le tšhelete ya half month ya kgwedi ya e half ka ya high.
In 1985 I was retrenched, and then when I asked to say why, they say why I become retrenched, they say no, don't ask and then he was retrenched with about the blue card, and then with the half month salary and go home. Thanks.
Kile ka ya hae ka nna sa 1988 kile ka boela gape ko next ka nya ka mmere go banjiga.
In 1988 I went back and then they hire me again.
Ka ile ba ba sa banjiga bankisa dokeng ya ncheka matlo ya ncheka ditsebe ba re go go theoela go area 20 and area 16 le ke go maka go teng go 20 le area 16.
When I get hired there, they take me to the medical doctor to check the ears, the, and the eyes, and then to say, after that they say, go and work at the area 16 and 20.
Kegarekile, 1988, official 1992, Katoma Kanwa.
I worked 1988 to 1992 and I started to get sick.
Kile ka karakil wala ka kuta foromana ata kare hape ke alwala antare yanga ke.
I told the foreman about my illness and then he told me that I must go to the doctor.
Kile ka yanga ke hake fika bu nga ke nga ka yanga ka kufa ya kuru kile ka mbuile ka muta ase ka mu. Ebe mbuile ka muta ase ban tumela ko met foromo. Back for Romo, yang tumela ko sa private hospital ko 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 Pretoria ka go bala 5 days go te ba dira operation ba rinula me di ka motlase ka
I was I was sent at the Medform hospital and then the question is that I was living to a private hospital because I was sick by that time, and then they drained me the water in my private tub.
By the way, I was drained with a cup of water to go well and miracle. By the way, I was drained with a cup of water to go well and miracle. Can take it,
there is a situation whereby after they discharged me at the hospital, I went home. I went to back to work whereby I worked until me and my family were really trying to we are no longer in a good time.
Kegwezi kufikala bampa package ka 1995 kufikala wana ka nokisalo ano na jango akibereke akukhonwe la selo ekibereka bangshiza entane.
I'm so sick today, and then what happened is that when I get the fish job, I don't even work properly. They realize that now I cannot even work.
And I mean, problem I come home, I get nalo mutsaji akare ba re batsaji le baba bedi ka mara la palaka
I've got the problem with the breathing, but at the same time is that in the family, me and my wife, we are all the same, we are all women.
Kana jina di five ba pile package, abasaba package, but today 8,000. But today she did it well. Abam pa 8,000 eh, kinsa kinu agabi ao? Ya pa 8,000 eh, ya soko lo na diyalo kipena ka chance ya di grants taba ana.
They give me the package of 8,000 rand, and now it's finished. And as a result of that, now I'm dependent on the grants for the children grant.
So think who did that with the one? Can I never love about 8 5 years of school? The end of the year, one half fair affair, but never go back to the report because of your politician who never have a debit or a given rich.
What is really disturbing is that I've got 8 children, 5 are still in school,
But what happened is that instead of getting the report at the end of the year, I have to do exhibit at the police station to them not working.
And then,
lastly, that I will request from the committee for assistance so that I can able to grow my children and then at the same time so that I can live better.
Shalua, that is, again, thank you for coming for us and sharing your painful experience with us. We note your request and we will see, we do interact with other committees, like labor, etc. We'll see what we can do to follow up on your request on us. Can we have the other presentation?
First of all, I would like to say thanks to the chairperson of the portfolio committee, and everybody else. My name is Manyanyata Alfred Sapibi. I'm one of the ex-Nexa employees. I started working there in 1989. My first assignment was at Biefa, and I was employed as a cleaner. At the end of May and sometime the beginning of June, they transferred me to C1. At C1, I only worked for 3 days, and they then transferred me to C4. I did the same kind of work, which was janitorial work.
At C4,
I worked for 6 months.
C3 and 5.
They then transferred me further to CN35. All the assignments that I had was to actually clean up in those particular areas. In Afrikaans, they said I was a decontamination worker, meaning that my job was to work in a contaminated area in order to decontaminate it. As I was working, I started developing some illnesses and they referred me to their company doctors. In 1999, we were told that the kind of work we were doing was being phased off, and they were selling off those machines to a Chinese company or something. 31st of October, I was then called and notified that my work was over. Then I asked my supervisor, how can it be possible because we are four and you are only giving the notice to me alone? What he told me, he said I was ill.
ri vona ku vutisa u nga humeli matheni ri wa vabya so hi ti 31 ntirho u herile u ta kuma timfanelo ta wena hi ti 31 ta January the year 2000.
And then he told me not to argue further with him, and I would get my severance pay around the 31st of January
2000.
I'm still sick. I'm not quite clear about the diagnosis of my illnesses. I'm still waiting for to be taken to the doctors by the health wife. Lexa put me in a position where I ended up with a bond. Due to the first verdict, I suspect that I was not able to service the bond. It was repossessed and they did that during my absence. All I had is the jacket I had on my shoulders when I went to go and bury my uncle elsewhere. My wife decided to separate from me. She's with my children and her family. I really don't want to waste the committee's time, but what I wanted to say is that we've been suffering a lot working for this company, and there's quite a number of people who died whilst working for this company. We decided to organize ourselves into a union, and we joined COSATU, and unfortunately the person who was supposed to be representing us, all what we see, they bought him a car, they bought him a house, they gave him an office, and we are left out in the cold. I was actually the chairperson and organized the group that I had, and unfortunately I picked up some problems. He realized that I had some influence, and one of those people had a car, and he saw me on a paper and he confronted me and he said to me, "Are you so and so?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, jump in the car." And he wanted to know where I was going. He said, "No, we just wanted to give you about 20,000 rand so that you should stop getting fooling around with South Africa." Yeah, it is true, as it has been said by one of the speakers, that they had witnessed some drums in Atrejville. It is true. The company was selling those drums to us because they knew that we were using them for collecting water or whatever the case may be. We are pleading to this committee so that you should be in a position to assist us. We delivered a memorandum to the president of the union buildings. Up to this date, we haven't heard anything from anybody. I thank you.
Tomela.
Thank you, Mr. Chang.
And the members of life. I'm Sipho Jaka. I've been working at UCO since 1981. I've been working there. I was in Mission District. While working, I started, became sick. I told my supervisor, he referred me to the company doctor. I told the doctor about the pain, the chest pain, the short breath, the heartbeat, even my eyes. I can't see. But what he gave me, he gave me an ointment and pain tablet. I went there since 1981 until 1987. What happened since to them, I was a problem, they decided to return to 1987. I felt that, no, I can't live like this. Let me consult hospitals, telephone. Doctor told me, we can see that you are ill, but you can't actually explain what the sickness. I tried my best. My first wife left me. Telephone until I find help from African Life. African Life took me to Dr. Markun in the year 2006. When I came there, Dr. Markun, her findings were a lung infection. She referred me to Telephone. I came in California. California's findings were thyroid. Thyroid, high blood, chronic cough, a lot of sickness. They referred me to academic hospital for treatment of this thyroid. Even now, I'm taking a lifetime treatment. Even now, God, it has been ringing it now. And I'm not working. No compensation from NEXA. They don't even want to hear anything from me. My wife is not working. We only survive with my elder brother, pension body. I am not even so sure that I last with this wife because she's getting tired, fed up, leave at home because even to satisfy her, it took me something like 2 to 3 months to pick up and do all those things to show her that I'm a man enough. I mean, I'm suffering, there's no help, I'm in the world, and I don't know why I must suffer those
consequences. I thank you. Nabulela, Mauchan. It's going to be very painful. It shows the other face of nuclear power, which I think South African we will have to look at. It is also the same face of the same industry. This is the same face. It's not there's a direct relationship between the conditions of these workers and the flowering of this industry. So it's the same face. So I'll now ask Ubao Chauk and I to talk to us.
My name is Charles Chauke. I was working at Nexa.
1981.
When we started there in this company, we've been told that everything we're working with, we must maintain a secret. We mustn't tell people about the issues happening in that company. And they said, even if you are sick, you mustn't go to the external doctor, you must only use the same doctor. And one day they said to us, unfortunately, you're no longer having a job to do. In other words, the work has come to an end. Then they took us to their own doctor. So they tested our blood and other stuff. Because that was a new doctor. So the doctor asked us, you people, with your condition, where do you think you can get another job? So we got entrenched and then we stayed for a long time until we get a job at this other company. So we got a job at Edline. Then the headlines people took them there to their own doctor. So that doctor told him that he is sick. So he has been told that he's got a chronic disease. So the problem is, the moment he walks for a shorter distance, then he experiences this thing of, it's like he just short. He doesn't have enough air, so it's like... And he gets tired, easy. So that's the end.
Thank you very much to all of you. We really are grateful that you come to share your experiences with us. I think that at least from the point of view of Parliament, as we explore this question of nuclear power, which will have to come to us, we will know its other face as well. We will be aware of that. I'd like to open it up to members to ask questions. This has been a bit of a longer presentation because of the various comments and reports from the affected people. So if we could really measure our questions over to them, save for time, we still have no way to go. Machama, Comrade Maluleka, and Honorable Morgan and Mangal.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would just like to ask the sufferers, and really I'm very, I think we all are very moved by the very tragic situations. You know, when we did quite a lot of work with people who had worked in the asbestos mines, and their health had suffered very, very badly from that, there was an organization that looked at what their suffering was and formed, got legal help for them and made sure that their conditions were caused by asbestos. And I just wondered if there's anybody apart from Earth Love who are assisting you in any way to put your stories together, to look at your medical conditions, and to come up with, there are also legal organizations that assist people who have worked for a firm and have come up with common complaints, to put their stories together and to try to get some addressing of their problems, some compensation. But you have to do it as a group, not as individuals. And I just wondered if there's any legal help or NGO or that is assisting you to put your stories together and to get help for your conditions. And I mean, are you getting disability grants, or are you just relying on your children's child support grants, etc.? Just so we can get some sort of a picture of the group as a whole. And are there many more who are suffering in the same sort of way as you are? You may need to be translated.
No.
Thank you. Mine is very short. I just wanted to find out, when employed in this company, did they think in terms of giving you same safety protective clothing, so that at least whatever you do, you have some sort of protection?
Mr. Morgan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm largely covered by the very comprehensive questions of Honourable Chalmers. I'm just moved to also thank the presenters for coming here. I'm deeply shocked by this. I hope, Mr. Chair, that we will also be able to find time to really engage next on this issue. As a specific question, I will ask one. And similar to Honourable Malaleki's question, not just on protective gear, but were the presenters, were you ever made aware at any time during the course of your employment, whether at the start or any way through, what indeed the risks, what risks were associated with this type of work? And did it by the end of your respective employment, if they weren't informing you, were they informing anyone else? Because of course there are presumably many more people who find themselves in similar situations. Because of course, I mean, you can't justify ever working in conditions like that. It's not even a case of informed consent. I mean, no one should be ever made to work in conditions which result in such ailments. So that certainly wouldn't be an argument, but I am interested to know whether they informed you of any particular dangers. Thank you.
I would like to know if they're still selling their drums to people to use to collect their water with. Thank you.
Mr. Blatt.
Mr. Chairman, could I again just park another recommendation that the HSRC be requested to go and investigate? We might only see the tip of the iceberg at the moment. And there might be other things that we need to research and come up with
proposal that must be done if we are going to venture on pebble bed reactors and other nuclear devices in the future. I think it's important that we do research what has happened here, what we haven't seen, what has not come to our committee, and then make decisions on informed research.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry for coming late, but I'm privileged to have caught the three horror stories at the end. It's really heartrending. I don't know where, one does not know where to start. But I think what I think that we should do, there should be immediate relief measures. Some questions have been asked by some of our colleagues as to how many people are involved and how they're living at the moment, etc. And Mr. Blank is here of the Human Rights Commission. But I think I was thinking that we could do something very quickly now. If we can know from the group here, as Mr. Shamas is already saying, organize the service group, then we can knock on one door immediately. You see, because we've got, there are two things we can do. Number one, you can write as a portfolio committee to the Minister of Social Development and say, here is a self-explanatory case. Please assist, use your ministerial power to intervene. You start with DG that these people must be given a disability grant immediately. Yeah, that's what can happen almost instantaneously. While the other things are happening about, getting detailed reports about medical conditions, etc. But that other thing should happen immediately from our side. Number two, also the Minister of Housing. To say, can she load these people on a preferential list of RTP houses in case they're homeless, throw them in there and so on, wherever they are, and so on. And then number three would be that we, as a control committee, should immediately, as a member agency, when we resume, have an oversight visit that we spoke about to RTPs, for example, the whole river in the system. But particularly, we must meet this Pelindabal group first before we go and meet NEXA. Because I know what happens on these overseas visits. The officials, they may give you a PowerPoint presentation to impress you, they give you a big lunch and so on, and then almost as an afterthought say, we just have to take you on a guided tour for 30 minutes to Tembisa or whatever, Pelindabal, etc. And then before we know it, we're in a hurry to catch the aeroplanes and come back to Cape Town. We've seen nothing. So we don't want to go there for PowerPoint presentations and for big lunches there, but to actually have a meeting with these people here. And what I think we should actually do now is to ask them to go to the police station and make affidavits. Everybody must have run down their own little story and then go to the police station and make an affidavit and say, I swear, also I'm going for this comment, because then the climate of this, NEMA, we have passed a law called the National Environmental Management Act. That's why it's got teeth. It must begin to bite. We must go to the next and say, guys, here are affidavits, you must pay. That's all. Otherwise, there's no point in making these laws. And then when we are faced with a real case, we ship it under the carpet and carry on amending a whole plethora of other laws. Doesn't make sense.
Honorable Gwena has said, I think immediately it is important to take this issue to the Human Rights Commission to look at this as a socio-economic rights violation by an institution.
Mamu Kalala, the last one, I know it's quite a demanding issue, but let's be
Chairperson,
conscious of time.
I just want to add to what Gwena has been suggesting, that if we have an oversight, we need to start hearing from the communities affected, then the management. Because most cases you start with the management, as he was saying, then they become so nice, you know. By the time you go to the people, you cannot go back to them and say, what about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? I thank you.
Ngozi Matsalang, your response, Chief, and keep it brief.
Oh, thanks. I would like to respond on question one of assistance, and then maybe the affected workers, they can talk about other issues, especially the protection and the information, the risk. Question one is that SLIFE is environmental organization, and then as a result of that, we done that because we fund this issue. The workers were coming to us, and as a result of that, we managed to raise about 70,000, in which 208 people, they managed to undergo to the doctor. We pay a lot of money to the doctor, and then as a result of that, we don't have money left. We don't have money to continue with extra tests. And as a result of that is that, therefore, our study becomes the problem because now we don't have money. But now, last year we managed to get the Legal Resource Center in Pretoria. They are helping us, and now the definite cases, which the definite radiation cases, according to the law, the one lawyer found that he can institute a common law case, which is very imminent for the 11 people. And then what happened is that, but we need the money to test these people. I mean, when we come to you, we must come with evidence. We don't want to speculate. So we also, I mean, in that manner is that the committee maybe can intervene. Like the Medical Research Council, maybe they can take the study. We went to even the public health committee in academic hospital in the Pretoria University so that they can help, but they're not interested. I mean, it's a problem, and the International Nuclear Regulator, they got that law to say they must take responsibility, but they're not interested. So it is a big, big problem. So Legal Resource Center has taken legal matters, and medical is Dr. Marikum, but now we find that Marikum is only occupational lawyer, I mean occupational doctor. He's not qualified as a radiation doctor. So we need a very good radiation doctor, not a occupational doctor. Thanks. Okay. Let's think about that. Mr. Maluleka, on the protection, to tell you the truth, we documented a lot about protection. They can even talk to you. The protection was mostly on the white counterpart, not on the sweepers and the gardeners. Mostly was on the white counterpart. And obviously those who are working in the reactor.
So in short, they were not provided.
They were not provided,
okay.
Yes. The information about the risk, definitely that was not even informed. The risk were not, I mean, they were not even informed or trained or showed anything. About the drums, yes, Pepper responded, and we never show you the video clip, wherever you see, it's not only the drums, even the chair, any furniture is contaminated. So the people were, our people are buying that furniture. So it's a problem there. And then on the relief measure, really we welcome that, and then we found that it can be very, very good for these people. I mean, some they lost their family, they stay in the shacks, and it's so bad. I mean, really.
I think it is appropriate to say that certainly from the point of view of our committee, we will certainly interact with some of the responsible players here. One of the things, the Minister and the Minister of Labour, will have to interact with them. We also will interact with our own counterparts in Parliament or in that portfolio committee. We will also indeed visit NACSA. And we will do a proper preparation so that we can raise the issues that have come out of them. And we insist that a real response, real action be taken, and the matter that has been raised by Honorable Nkwena will constitute the package of initiatives that we will follow. We will be in touch. This is not just a parliamentary speak. We will be in touch. We will follow up on this matter. With that, thank you very much for coming to us and indeed sharing your experience and underscoring the fact that we are trying to make this place a people's parliament.
Sorry, Chairman, with your permission. Just 2 seconds. I know we've been bothered by this. I don't know where the answer lies. From time to time, we meet people who are very, who open our eyes, but they come from poor circumstances. They're very indigent. They take all the trouble. Fisher folk trouble. Is there no fund, is there no kitty in the community section to compensate, to reimburse such people for taking all the trouble using public transport, even if they've borrowed to come here?
From your own community fund.
Okay, no, this matter, Honorable Gwena, will be looked at. We did, for instance, fund the trip for one of the people who was here. Citizen who Mariette, referring. We paid for her to come here. So, because she was able to communicate with us on time. There was a problem of communication with our partner. But definitely something can be done. We'll try and look at the situation of reinvesting them. Even if it may take some time, but we will do something about it. Definitely. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Now, the next presenter will now talk of the problems of time. We will have to positively discriminate with the government in that we will take 2 presentations at a time and then we take questions. We will no longer give them the customized individual attention we gave the people. So, it's discrimination, but
it's positive. It's right.